Well, I think most of us are quite well aware of the story of the prodigal son found in the Gospel of Luke chapter 15. We're not getting into the entire story this morning. But in that 15th chapter, we find something quite unique. We find three distinct parables about that which is lost. In verses 4 through 7, we have the lost sheep. In verses 8 through 10, we have the lost coin. And in verse 11 through 32, we have the lost son. Lost sheep, lost coin, and a lost boy. Three parables of the lost. And when that young man, the prodigal son, went away, far away from his father, thinking he would have now a better life, with all his inheritance, he ended up, as you know, in the pigsty. Because of his impatience, because of his rebellion, because of his greed, because he failed to submit to the rule of the house, he ended up in the pigsty. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's, back in my father's house, how many of my hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? You know, that expression, when he came to himself, is the opposite of he was beside himself. He came to himself. Prior to that, he was beside himself. What does that mean? He was filled with worry, anguish. He was frantic. He was desperate. He was frenzied. He was at his wit's end. And he came to himself. What was it that brought his reasoning back to him? The reason which he once had, then he lost through his impatience and his selfishness. What was it that brought the reasoning back to him? Was one thing. Yes, it was the grace of God, but through one means. Through the bread enough to spare in his father's house. That was the first thing that came to his mind. Not the work. Not his father. Not his old bedroom and his bed, but the abundance of bread in his father's house. And it was not just bread enough to spare in his father's house, but he said, how many of my servants of my father? How many? It's not one servant, not some privileged servant, who has bread enough to spare. Not the favorite ones of my father, but many of them. It was this thought that caused him to return. Many servants, just hirelings, have bread enough to spare. What was it that brought him back? There are other words of ways of describing it. As in John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said, the thief cometh not for to kill, steal, to kill, destroy, but I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. Not all translations have the word more in it. But this, King James and a few others, has it more abundantly. More abundantly than you ever had. More abundantly than those great saints of old had. I am come. It is through me that you can have bread enough to spare. Because I am the bread of life. Bread enough to spare. In Barclay's Daily Study Bible we read, Jesus claims that he came that men might have life and might have it more abundantly. The Greek phrase used for having it more abundantly means to have a superabundance of a thing. To be a follower of Jesus, to know who he is and what he means, is to have a super abundance of life. An abundance. The Apostle Paul writes of that in Ephesians chapter 3. His prayer for the Ephesian church and for all believers is to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. We cannot comprehend. Some people try to put God's love in a box, or try to define God's love, or explain God's love. It is beyond our human understanding. It passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Exceeding abundantly. You know what that means? It exceeds abundance. It's not just abundant. It exceeds abundance. It is more abundance than everything, anything you've ever experienced before. I want to give you just one example of how through Jesus Christ, we sang about all fears depart in that name of Christ. I can't quite word it right. In that name of Jesus. Let me give you one example. How we can have an exceedingly abundant relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Let me give you one example. In Psalm chapter 55, David said, "My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me." Because these great men went to Sheol. Oh, it was the good place of Sheol, but it was still not heaven. And so David's saying here, I am overwhelmed with horror and fear of death. But that's not how the Apostle Paul spoke. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. And that's what Christ defeated on the cross. The strength of sin is the law, and that's what Jesus took to the cross with him. The ordinances that were against us. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul did not fear death, and neither do we, because Jesus tasted death for us. He has taken the bitterness out of death. He has taken its sting away. He's taken its power away. Just one example of how we can have a more abundant life. A life without fear. That's why Jesus rebuked his disciples for being afraid of the storm. "Why are ye so fearful, O ye of little faith?" "It is I," he said, when he came walking on the water. He said, "Don't fear, it is I." He didn't say, "Don't fear, the storm's going to go away," or "The storm is past." He didn't say, "Everything's going to be okay." He said, "It is I. Focus on me. Trust in me. In my name, all fears depart." He tasted death for us. We no longer have to fear it. The life more abundant. He who believes in me, that means trust, and in the Amplified it says, clings to me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow, not drip, but flow rivers of living water. And I have to ask you, and I have to ask myself, are rivers of living water flowing from you? Are they flowing from this church? Are they flowing from our mind, from our heart, from our speech? Is it flowing? Believe me, if it was really flowing, people would notice. Because that's the abundant, more abundant life. Water that's flowing. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. The apostle writes, "For out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote unto you with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you." And you know, the apostle Paul said, the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. The less he was loved did not diminish love for them. In fact, his love grew. That's the more abundant life. That is love flowing. Nothing can impede it. Nothing the enemy says. Nothing the enemy does. No matter how we're treated or mistreated or abused, the rivers keep flowing. That is the life more abundant that Jesus came to give us. The Apostle Paul experienced that exceeding abundant life. And so can we through Jesus Christ. As he writes to Timothy, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant. That means exceeds abundance. More than I ever imagined. The grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Bread enough to spare? Oh, yes. Love enough to spare? Does God have love enough to spare? Does he have love enough to go around? Does he have grace enough to spare? That's the kingdom of Christ. One of abundance, superabundance. Charles Spurgeon wrote, O soul, if you are lost, it is not from any lack of grace or wisdom or power in the Father. If you perish, it is not because God is hard to move or unable to save. If you are a castaway, it is not because the Eternal refused to hear your cries for pardon or rejected your faith in him. Your blood is on your own head if your soul is lost. You know what? The prodigal son, though, represents the backslider. He was lost. Remember what the father said to his servants, this my son was lost, he was dead. Now he is alive, he is found. So the backslider is lost. Your blood is on your own head if your soul is lost. If you starve, you starve because you wish to starve, for in the Father's house there is bread enough to spare. If you starve. You know, there are a lot of starving Christians today. They're starving because they don't believe that in their Father's house there's bread enough to spare. They're starving of joy. They're starving of peace. They fear every little thing. They complain about every little thing. They're starving for the fullness of God, for the living water to flow from their life. But know this, there's bread enough to spare. There's grace enough to spare in our Father's house. So what do you have to do? You have to open your mouth, as God said through David, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. And so Christians are starving because they're not praying for the fullness, as the Apostle Paul said, that you might know the fullness of God. They're not seeking it. They're content in their miserable, lukewarm life. When God has so much bread to spare, they're wallowing in the pigsty. Thinking of better times. The good old days, when the better days are yet ahead of them. Open your mouth wide. Cry out to God. Stop crying out to God for all those stupid physical things that you think are so important. And cry out to God for the fullness of his Spirit, for that living water to flow from your life. George S. Bishop, the pastor of the First Reformed Church in Orange, New Jersey, in his sermon in 1885, wrote this or spoke this. A man never sees the good of a thing till he wants it. And he never sees the availability of a thing till he really wants it. Hunger makes a man open his mouth. Are you hungering and thirsting after righteousness? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Not the things of the world. Hunger after him. Hunger and thirst after more of him. Hunger makes a man open his mouth and he sees there is bread enough to spare. The bread that I give is my flesh, said Jesus, which I give for the life of the world. There is then plenty to spare. Another word that goes along with spare, plenty to spare, plenty to give, is the word freely. And this is what the backsliding prodigal knew. That in his father's house, he wasn't just thinking of bread, he was thinking of forgiveness. Where before he asked for bread, he asked for forgiveness. Father, I have sinned. The bread just symbolized the love that abounded in his father's house. As God said through the prophet Hosea to backsliding Israel, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. For my anger is turned away from him. Freely. The Hebrew word for freely is nedaba. It means, number one, to give with a willing mind. In this case, giving. With a willing mind. God is willing. You don't have to twist his arm to find forgiveness. To give with a willing mind. To give voluntarily. No one's forcing him to love and to give abundantly. To give exceeding abundance. Paul says, he, that's God, that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Freely give us all things with a willing mind, voluntarily, more abundantly will he give us all. He's already given us his best, hasn't he? In giving us Jesus Christ, his son. How he will give us all things that we need. All things pertaining to the soul. Jesus said to his disciples, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received. With a willing mind, God has given them his grace. Voluntarily. Abundantly and more than abundant, he has given them. Now he said, in like manner, you give. As you have freely been given the gift of eternal life, now you freely, voluntarily, with a willing mind, give. I'm going to say something that you might think a little trite and corny, but I think you'll remember it because it is. Bread enough to spare is bread enough to share. I don't want to sound like Joel Osteen here. But it's true. Bread enough to spare, which you have received through Jesus Christ freely, is bread enough to share. Will you remember that? Bread enough to spare is bread enough to share. There's love enough in God, for he loved the whole world. There's strength enough in Christ, because he endured the crucifixion and the shame. There's courage enough in God to share, not just to spare, but to share. For a God who loved the whole world, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. Can we not share that love? Can we not share that strength that he gives us? Can we not share in the courage? When the Canaanites invaded Israel, Deborah, the prophetess, went to the king and said, let's go fight them. He said, I'll go with you. But if you don't go with me, I won't go. He went because, what? She imparted courage to him. She imparted strength to him. The Apostle Paul wanted to impart spiritual gifts to the churches. Not so much miraculous gifts, but courage, hope, strength, joy, peace. The gospel in its fullness. There is bread enough to spare in my father's house. Many servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. But friends, bread enough to spare is bread enough to share. That's what the kingdom of Christ is all about. Bread enough, love enough, grace enough, mercy enough to spare anyone. And love enough, grace enough, mercy enough to share with anyone. That's the kingdom of God. In this parable, Jesus said to the one who received a few talents and replicated them faithfully, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Are you sharing in God's happiness now, in his joy, in his peace? Are you sharing it with others through the gospel? Do not forget to do good and share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Yes, and sharing, not hoarding the blessings, but sharing them, may be a sacrifice. Because you may have to do without that new little gadget you wanted. Because someone else is without a Bible, without ever hearing the gospel. So sharing is sacrificial. People came to John the Baptist when he was talking about repentance. "What shall we do then that we might be saved?" He answered, said, "He that has two coats, let him impart to him that has none. And he that has food, let him do likewise." From the very get-go, the preaching of John the Baptist, it was share. When the Holy Spirit came down upon the people at Pentecost, they shared. It's a kingdom of sharing. And if you're in the kingdom of Christ, you're in the kingdom of sharing. If you don't know how to share, you don't have a God who has bread enough to spare. Your God is some other God, some stingy God. And you don't know the abundant life. You don't have the rivers of living water flowing from you if you don't know how to share. There's bread enough to spare. It means there's bread enough to share. Love must be sincere, said the Apostle Paul. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. See what happens when the living water flows from your life? You hate evil. You cling to that which is good. You're devoted to one another. You honor others above yourself. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Oh, that those living waters would flow from this church, from my soul. And it's not just food and clothing and money that we can share, not just shelter. It's also the fruits of the Spirit that we can share. I have confidence in all of you that you would all share my joy. The joy of the Lord is contagious. The love of God is contagious. Holiness is contagious. You live a holy life in front of your colleagues, you're sharing something even more important than food or clothing. You're sharing the very nature of Christ with them as he has shared it with you. In Jesus Christ, there is joy enough to share. In Jesus Christ, there's love enough to share. And there's even time enough. Hey, friends, if you're in Christ, you have an eternity awaiting you, a bliss. An eternity of joy. And if you redeem the time here, you'll have time to share because God has time to spare. Are you sharing your time? When the church has needs? When others have needs? But I hear Christians say very often, "I just don't have enough to share." You don't need a whole lot to share. You just need a God who has a whole lot. "I don't have enough time. I don't have much money." Well, you know what? Maybe there's a very sinful reason why you don't have time to share, or why you aren't able to share things. why you have nothing to share. When God has enough to spare, there's a good sinful reason I take you to the book of Haggai. It's very simple. You have so much, you work hard, but you bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe, but there is none warm. What does that mean? It means you're not satisfied. You're not content. And he that earns wages to put it into a bag with holes. See, friends, if you don't open up your mouth and cry out for that more abundant life, the Spirit of Christ to fill you, all you do is being putting stuff, your life, your family's life, in a bag with holes. You lose it. Consider your ways, says the Lord of hosts. Go up to the mountain and burn wood, build the house, bring wood, build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, said the Lord. You looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Here is why so many Christians don't have anything to share. Because of my house, that is waste. And you run every man unto his own house. Selfishness. Me first. Others second. Friends, when you put others second, you know what you've done? You have put Jesus Christ second. When you put the work of God second, you have put God second. You have put the one who died on the cross for you in another place than he deserves to be. Why don't you have enough to share? Well, I have a bag full of holes. Yes, why is it full of holes? Because you run every man to his own life, to his own comfort, to his own pleasure, to his own folly, and not to my kingdom. And that's why many are starving in the churches today. And they have nothing to share. Was this not the sin of the prodigal son? When he said, Father, give me my share of the fortune. And he took it and wasted it and riot his living. He spent it upon himself, maybe a few of his friends. Charles Spurgeon said, family is synonymous with self. And that's all you could think about is your family, and you must think about them. It's still self. Remember, Jesus said, no man lights a candle and hides it under the bed. No man lights a candle, puts it under a bushel. No man lights a candle, puts it in a secret place. The secret place is the heart. The bushel is a measurement. The bed represents the family. You don't light a candle and put it under the bed. It's not just for your family. It's for your neighbors. There is bread enough in our Father's house to spare. There is bread enough to share. In that 15th chapter of Luke, we see something quite amazing. Three parables talking about the same thing. A lost lamb, a lost coin, a lost son. But notice, Jesus said, which of you having 100 sheep and loses one of them does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go out and look for that sheep till he find it? That one out of 100. He's looking for one out of 100. The next parable about the 10 coins. A woman who has 10 coins, she loses one. Does she not sweep the house until she find what? The one out of 10 coins. First parable, one out of 100. That's how special that one is. Shepherd didn't say, well, I've got 99. That's enough, so I lose a sheep or two. I've got one coin, I've got 9 coins, so I lose a coin. I'm still rich. But in that third parable of the prodigal, it was one out of 2. He had two sons. Did he say, well, I still have one son? No. I have a lost son. And you know what those parables were saying? That when that shepherd finds that one lost sheep, one out of 100, he puts it on his shoulders and he comes back rejoicing. And Jesus said, I tell you, there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. You want to bring joy to God the Father? You want to put a smile on His face? We're all concerned about God putting a smile on our face. Well, you know, God can't really put a smile on your face until you put a smile on His. If there's a known sin you need to repent of, it will put a smile on God's face. All the angels will rejoice. There'll be a party in heaven over one sinner that repents, turns from his wicked, sinful, selfish ways. And that's what the prodigal did. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise. He didn't write about it. He didn't take out his guitar and construct a song about it. He got up and he went home to his father. That's repentance. And the father received him gladly. He didn't rebuke him. He should have been slapped around a little bit, the prodigal, but he wasn't. The father should have took those filthy clothes and hung them up for everybody to see. He didn't. He probably burned them. Life more abundant. In the Old Testament, God said about their sins, He said, I will separate your sins from you as far as the east is from the west. I will throw them behind my back, and I will bury them in the deepest sea. But then He had a prophecy, a promise concerning the kingdom of the Messiah, which He only... In Jeremiah and in Romans, we read of it, I think it's Romans or Hebrews. Well, I will remember their sins no more. That was a promise for the kingdom of His Son. In the Old Testament, your sins are behind my back, but there they are. Separate from the east to the west, and if you travel east to west on this earth, what happens? They meet again, don't they? In the bottom of the sea, there they are. They're down there. Ah, but under Christ's kingdom, I will remember them no more. There's joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. D.L. Moody, the evangelist, who said, it is a great thing to lead one soul from the darkness of sin into the glorious light of the gospel. I believe if an angel were to wing his way from earth up to heaven and were to say that there was one poor ragged boy without father or mother, with no one to care for him and teach him the way of life, and if God were to ask who among them were willing to go down to the earth and live here for 50 years and lead that one to Jesus Christ, every angel, said Moody, in heaven would volunteer to go. Even Gabriel, who stands in the presence of the Almighty, would say, let me leave my high and lofty position and let me have the luxury of leading one soul to Jesus Christ, because heaven rejoices over one soul saved. There is no greater honor, said Moody, than to be the instrument of God's hands of leading one person out of the kingdom of Satan into the glorious light of heaven. I think if God were to ask that of the angels, Moody would be correct. But even Gabriel and others would say, I'll go. Because one soul is so valuable. One soul. One little lamb. And the shepherd went out to find it. One lost coin. One lost boy. Why would the angels leave their glory to come to this filthy world? Because that's what Jesus did. Why do we abase ourselves and humble ourselves to go out into a filthy world, as we read in Hebrews, we must leave the camp bearing the reproach of Christ. This is the camp we're in. And he wrote that to the Hebrews who knew about the encampments of the Israelites for all those years in the wilderness. We must leave the camp bearing the reproach of Christ. Remember, Moses said the reproach of Christ is greater than all the riches of Egypt. The reproach of Christ. What was outside those camps in Israel? The lepers, the enemy, the toilets, the garbage was outside the camp. Why would the angels leave their glory for one little orphan boy? Because that's what Jesus did. And that's what we need to do. Friends, there is bread enough. If you're lacking courage, if you're lacking the ability to say no to temptation, it's your fault, not God's. It's your fault. It's my fault. Because there's power enough to spare in Almighty God. And we have to open our mouths wide and let Him fill us with that courage, that stamina, that hatred for sin. I need to hate sin more. If I hate sin more, I'd sin less. But I have to open my mouth wide and pray for it. So do we. There's bread enough to spare in our Father's house. Thereby, there's bread enough to share. There's bread enough to share. Let's pray. Father, have mercy upon this sick and dying world. When the church is so feeble, the church, Lord, is to blame very much for what is befalling the world. The pulpits, Lord, the preachers like myself. Oh God, have mercy. You have so much to share with us. For your kingdom is one of sharing. You will share your throne. You said you would share your throne with the Laodicean lukewarm if they repented. There'd be so much joy in heaven over their repentance that you would share your throne. As the Father shares His throne with you, Lord. What love, Lord. It's exceedingly abundant, your love. We cannot understand it. We cannot fathom it. It's beyond our comprehension. But Lord, we need it. And we want to be filled with it. And we want our lives to flow with that love for other people. For those who have wronged us, for those who mistreat us, for those who forsake us and abandon us. Even for those, Lord, who attack you. Oh, Lord, help us to be filled with love. There is love enough to spare in your heart. Fill us with that love, Lord, so we have love enough to share with one another. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.